last Savior.
Oh, the Savior of mankind, please show us the sign.
To the designer of the human civilization that is established on the unity of Almighty Allah. To the redeemer of human volition and thought.
Assalamu alaikum, dear listeners. You're listening to IRIB English Radio. This is The Last Savior. I'm your humble host, Muzaffar Haidar. In the studio today, we have with us Dr. Karimi. Dr. Karimi, assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah, and thank you for having me.
In the previous episode, we were discussing about the fitna of Dajjal, and we were saying how he is either a system or a person, and how there are certain hadith which indicate that he could be one or the other or both, and how there is a difference of opinion among the great scholars of the contemporary world as well, who also have varying opinions about this. And so we were going to dive deeper into this, Dr.
Sure. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. I refer to some of the narration in Shia sources about the concept of Dajjal. Now, the conclusion after studying all those narrations is that, as I mentioned, many Shia scholars believe in Dajjal to be a person who will come at the time of the reappearance of Imam Mahdi alayhi salam to misguide the people. Some scholars believe in him, in Dajjal being a movement, a system to misguide the people. And some scholars believe in Dajjal to be the title of different people, not only one person. But the conclusion of this discussion is that, as I mentioned in the previous program, Sunni scholars pay more attention to the concept of Dajjal, and as Shia, we do not, pay much attention to this concept. And that is why it's not a very important point in our discussions on Mahdawiyya.
I've noticed that. It's much more of a focus for Sunnis than for Shias.
Yeah. What I mean by, not paying much attention to the concept of Dajjal is that at the end of the day, Dajjal is either the name of a person at the time of Imam Mahdi alayhi salam. So at that time, if we see that there is a person, his name is Dajjal, and he's going to misguide the people, as Shia, we know our duty. We know that his name has been mentioned in the narration, and this person who claims that my name is Dajjal, for example, he is the leader of misguidance, and we should be away from him. If the Dajjal is the, according to other scholars, is referring to a kind of system or movement, so the conclusion is that any kind of movement, any kind of system which tries to misguide the people in the form of social media or in the form of internet and so on and so forth, it is another understanding of Dajjal, so we need to be away from that. So I think our duty with regards to Dajjal, whether he's in the form of a person or a phenomena or, a system, is clear, and that is why we do not need to discuss more than that about the concept of Dajjal.
Right. One of the things that really stands out for me is one of the hadiths that is from the Holy Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi, and he says that in the end times, one of the things that will occur is that men will resemble women and women will resemble men. And there is this theme of femininity and this fitna of women also. What is going on here, and what do our hadith tell us about these kinds of things?
Yeah, this concept has been mentioned in some narrations. Sheikh Sadur in Malla Yahdur al-Faqih has a chapter about some of the bad features of the women, and most of the narrations that are mentioned in this specific chapter of Malla Yahdur al-Faqih, which is one of the books of Kutub al-Arba'a, the four main Shia collections of hadith, they are about the features of women in Akhir al-Zaman. So according to some narrations, in Akhir al-Zaman, there are some, so to speak, bad women. And so, as I mentioned before, why we are referring to these facts, we need to know that these are mentioned in the narrations, and as believers, we need to be careful about these fitnas.
Okay.
Doesn't mean that all the men are good in Akhir al-Zaman, of course not. But here, specifically, women are mentioned.
Let me stop you right there, Doctor. With your permission, we'd like to go to a short break.
ونريد أن نمن عن And we wanted to confer favor upon those who were oppressed in the land, and make them leaders, and make them inheritors.
Welcome back to the studio. We've been talking about the end times, and there is this theme of femininity and this fitna of women also.
Asbagh ibn Nubata says that Imam Hadi alayhi salam once told us that in Akhir al-Zaman, which is the worst of times, referring to the fact that there are many fitnas and trials and tribulations, there are some women who are maybe partially naked, and they go to the streets with much makeup, and they are out of religion, they are after their lust, and they consider the forbidden actions as permitted, and they will end up in the hellfire. This is in Man la yahdhur al-faqih, volume 3, page 390. As you also rightly mentioned, there are some narrations about the fact that some men will resemble women and women will resemble men.
Mm-hmm.
So this is a reality, and maybe to some extent today we see that, and maybe it would be worsened in the future. So the point is that according to the narrations, one of the fitnas of Akhir al-Zaman are related to women. So for our sisters in faith, it is very important for them not to be included among such women. And for the men, for the our brothers in faith, it is very important to know that if they see such women as mentioned in the narrations, then they need to be very cautious not to be deceived by such women. And of course, the same can be true about some men in Akhir al-Zaman. They can be the source of misguidance for both men and women. So with that, we finish our discussion on the fitna of women.
An important discussion to have.
Yeah.
Dear listeners, this is the last saviour from IRIB English Radio, and we're talking about the various fitnas that will occur during the end times. The first one that we discussed was the Dajjal, and the second one that we've just finished discussing was the fitna of women. Okay, what's the next fitna we're going to be talking about?
The next one, according to the narrations, is the fitna of wealth and properties. Now, the first point regarding that is that, unlike what some people understand, having wealth is not bad at all in and of itself. What is rejected by the narrations is, being attached to this world and to the properties and wealth without having a good purpose. Otherwise, a wealthy person who pays attention to his obligatory deeds, like paying homes and zakat and paying charity, and he uses his wealth for good causes, for sure, not only he is not reproached, rather he's, admired according to the narrations. So the narrations, حُبُّ الدُّنْيَا رَأْسُ كُلِّ خَطِيئَةٍ, loving the world is the, principle for all the sins or bad deeds, is referring to that love of the world, not having the world in and of itself. So the property being a fitna has been mentioned in the Noble Book of Quran in chapter Al-Anfal, verse 28, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم وَعْلَمُوا أَنَّمَا أَمْوَالُكُمْ وَأَوْلَادُكُمْ فِتْنَةً. Know that your properties and your children, which inshallah I will discuss about that, are a kind of fitna. That is a kind of test for you. And also the Noble Book of Quran refers to the fact that some people are tested through their properties and wealth, like the story of Qarun or Korah, as mentioned in chapter Qasas, verse 77. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that, أَعُوذُ بِاللَّهِ مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ الرَّجِيمِ وَابْتَغِ فِي مَا آتَكَ اللَّهِ الدَّارَ الْآخِرَةِ وَلَا تَنْسَ نَصِيبَكَ مِنَ الدُّنْيَا. So addressing Qarun, Prophet Musa alayhi salam says that you have a lot of wealth, so try to somehow spend it in divine causes and a good causes so that you will have a prosperous life in the hereafter. Doesn't mean that we need to spend all our money for the hereafter. No. وَلَا تَنْسَ نَصِيبَكَ مِنَ الدُّنْيَا. Do not forget about your share in this world, meaning that at the end of the day, all the people need to enjoy the life in legal ways as well.
That's absolutely fascinating. Dr. Karimi, if you don't mind, if we could just go for a quick break and then sure. We'll come back, inshallah.
The Last Savior. We're
waiting for you to die by.
I know he's one of the Ahlul Bayt and the last one, and he's going to change the world.
According to the narrations, one of the fitnas in Akhirul Zaman is the fitna and is the divine test regarding our properties and our wealth. And so if we are the people of the among the rich people, among the well-to-do people, it's very important for us to know that we need to have a good purpose for gathering money and properties and wealth. First of all, we need to pay attention to the obligatory deeds, like the obligation of zakat, mm-hmm. if we have the conditions, and then the obligation of khums, which are these two are important because they are obligations. Second of all, we need to pay attention to the recommended actions, like paying charity, helping other people, those people who are in need. And third, we need to be aware of the fact that being attached to this world is very dangerous. One of the fitnas of the Akhiru Zaman, as mentioned in the narrations, is Hubbu Dunya, the love of this world, being attached to this world.
Right.
The fact that it can be also applied for poor people as well. I mean, the fitna of having property is not only for the rich people. Sometimes we are not that rich, but we are attached to the amount of money that we have. This is also dangerous. At the same time, we have some rich people who are not attached to their properties as well. Imam Ali Salam was very rich. I mean, in that he was able to gain a lot of money through, for example, agriculture. And digging wells, for example. But then he spent almost all of them in charity and for the sake of God. On the other hand, we may have some not well-to-do people who are attached to what they have. So this is dangerous. Hubbu dunya is dangerous, not to have the world.
Very
to
dangerous.
To be attached
very
to
dangerous.
The world.
That's all we have time for, though, unfortunately. We're going to come back to the discussion, inshallah, and you can continue on that train of thought. I'm sorry to cut you off so abruptly there. Dear listeners, we've been talking about the fitnas, the various fitnas that exist. We've talked about Dajjal, we've talked about the fitna of women, we've talked about the fitna of Hubb al-Dunya and loving the world. Inshallah, we're going to continue the discussion and stay tuned. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
In the name of Allah, the most compassionate, the most merciful. O Allah, protect your representative, Al-Hujjab bin al-Hasan, Imam al-Mahdi, and send salutation upon him and his ancestors, now as well as all the times. Be his guardian, protector, guide and assistance. Help him in his path and be watchful for him till you let him rule over the earth willingly and cause him to live in it for a long time.
حتى تسكنه أرضك.